We're recording.
We are recording. It's live for us, Matt, but
yeah,
not for the people listening.
It's live on tape.
Live on tape.
Minus some edits that we make.
Yeah, this segment, this whole broadcast, this podcast brought to you by Memorex. People that record, no. Memorex is not one of our sponsors on
no.
here at the...
I don't think they make hard drives.
They don't?
No.
They were great in the 80s, though, and 90s when you used to tape things. It was wonderful.
Right. Or, yeah, make mixtapes or burn CDs. So
this is just like a mixtape here on the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. So, weird though.
It's a mixtape of things that we are talking about today, such as the Bears game against the West Burlington Notre Dame Falcons.
Falcons fly.
The next opponent, the Jessup Jayhawks. And our picks to click.
You're enunciating quite well.
Is that okay?
Yeah, you're enunciating quite well. Because, you know, on tape, after a while, it starts to distort. This is digital. This won't distort. Unfortunately, I don't want to use the term distort, but for the first time since, I believe, October 18th, 2013.
I've got this one for you.
Help me out.
Yeah, it was October 18th, 2013.
Eddie Hill Blakesburg, 18-14.
Yep.
Was the final there? The Bears lost in the week eight of the 2013 season. They would go on to defeat Cardinal of Eldon, Iowa, in the final week of the season to qualify for the playoffs and lose in the opening round to Maquoketa Valley. Segue here in about 8 days. 8 day segue. You just hold the phone there. Speaking of, pause of the tape. But final score from Friday night. West Burlington, Notre Dame, 27. The Bears, 18.
17.
Say again.
I'm sorry, 18.
Yep, 27. Good news about that tape thing. We could record right over that, but we're going to hold on to that air for prosperity.
I just got distracted by the Cubs game in the background here. The
Cubs are going on. Well, it seems though we have to talk about the Cubs on every podcast.
Always. The Cubs are the Vikings.
Let's not talk about the Vikings. I don't
Sam
want to talk
Bradford
about the
Vikings.
Sam Bradford era of the Sam... The Sam Bradford Vikings. Word has it there was an audition for quarterbacks last week. Fran Tarkington showed up.
Brett Favre. Mike Vick.
Yep. And Christian Ponder is possibly going to be offered extended contract.
That would have just made that would have been
Gus
hilarious.
Gus Frat was Gus there, Frat. And you know there are a few quarterbacks through the years here, but 27-18, West Branch loses to West Burlington Notre Dame despite nearly doubling them in total offense. I've said it once. I've said it 48 times.
I think I know what you're going to say.
There's one part of football that sort of gets neglected in the newspaper unless you get a field goal or something like that at the end of the game to seal the deal. But I'm a big proponent
teams.
Of special teams. And special teams on Friday really won the game for the Falcons, Matt.
Oh, absolutely, and it also helped West Branch too. We had Brett Shealy had a great return there in the second quarter, I believe. So yeah, but just as Coach Peterson talked about in the post game, his post game speech to players, which you can actually check out in the highlights of the game on WestBranchFootball.com. He was talking about. He said just exactly what you said. Special teams was huge in this game. And West Burlington, I don't know what it is, but I'd like to either use the stats to figure this out, but what their average starting drive position was.
Yeah.
Whether that came off of a kickoff return or a punt return, it just seemed like they were constantly having very good starting field position on all of their drives. And, Couple plays later, they're in the end zone.
Well, let's put that in perspective a little bit. 192 total yards for the Falcons in four quarters. The whole game, they only had 192 yards. I will take that from every opponent West Branch plays all year and take my chances.
Yep.
192 yards is less than, we'll go with 48 yards per quarter. Per 12 minutes, they are averaging 48 yards. Oddly enough, that was Isaiah Trousel's first carry of the football game. West Branch, you don't want penalties, you don't want turnovers. Well, the Bears begin this this game driving, Matt. Then on a first down, a fumble, and the Falcons recover it. The very next play, hand it to the fastest kid in the state. Why don't you? And around left.
He was the fastest kid in the state.
And if you don't wrap him up,
yep,
forget it.
Yep.
And by the time he got around the end, it was forget it. Yep. And they go up 7-0. The Bears came right back, scored on the very next drive, scored a 6. But not on the very next drive, I should say, did they score a 6. On their defense started to play quite well throughout the rest of the first half. West Branch, 2 drives later, talk about special teams and the things they're going to need to shore up for this week. Well, they're going to need to find a kicker and a punter. It's no secret.
Nope.
Bo Cornwell, the starting quarterback, was injured on the third series of the game. And he's also the Bears' kicker and their punter. So there's no way, I mean, you can't hide that. It's going to be on the film that teams, so this is not a big secret. So, I mean, that really put the Bears literally behind the eight ball, so to speak. Any time that they needed to punt or, well, kick an extra point, they didn't, because they didn't have someone that had been in that scenario before.
Yep.
So, and it really came down to it. And if you think about it, get one extra point or one 2-point conversion, then as we go through the game, we'll talk about how the game, the last touchdown and conversion gets there.
Yep.
You can go back to this. If the Bears make just one 2-point conversion, or if they have their kicker and make just one extra point,
at the end it becomes a one-possession
game. It becomes a one-possession game instead of a, you know, scrambling. You got 3 minutes and 8 seconds to score a 2-touchdown game.
Yep.
And that is it. 27-18, the final, Matt. Quarter-by-quarter scoring goes as what?
So, as we mentioned, the first score came from Isaiah Trousel. I think it was a 48-yard. Okay. I didn't know whether it was a 48.
So he had a good average.
Yeah, he had a good average going. So, yeah, 7-0 early, and then as you mentioned, Bears eventually answered early in the second quarter with Brandon Rummelhart hitting Jacob Graves in the back of the north end zone for a 6-yard touchdown. And then I think next drive, Brandon Rummelhart, we were kind of deep within our own territory, and he hit Cooper Cobla on a screen pass out to the left, and Cooper just kind of just broke some tackles, and the Falcon players just outright missed some tackles.
There may be a new Cooper fastest kid in the state.
Cooper was off to the races, and he, you know, just like that kind of, you know, quick slant he showed us on last year, he can, once he gets going, really, it's going to be hard to find someone that can catch him on a long dead-end sprint like that. So Cobla took it, I think, 82 yards or 84 yards to put the Bears ahead.
Pay dirt.
Yeah.
Well, the funny part is he caught that, and he was on the 30-yard, still 70 yards away. I sit near his father in the press box. I had my fist out ready to get it already. He was gaining yardage instead of being caught. They weren't, the speedy Falcons weren't able to catch, weren't catching up to him, which surprised me. No offense, Cooper, but that surprised me. And he did it. And 84, it's not like he used to going to the south end zone. This time he went north, right into the wind. And he still ran away, 84 yards. By the way, quick stat for him. He can finish the game, 7 receptions for 164, which is a new school record. Actually, 163, I think, is the official yardage in quick stats.
That is a school record.
That is a school record for most receiving yards in a game, eclipsing the old mark set. Matt Shaver in 2014 had 155 against Durant. And Tyler Donovan had 155, I believe, in 2013 against Sigourney Keyote. He also had 3 touchdowns in that game, which is another receiving record for Tyler. But Cooper Cobla takes over the top of the single game record. But, you know, that kind of goes to the wayside when the team loses a football game, and he'll be the first to tell you that. Finish up the scoring for
us. That ended 12. That's where it ended there at the half, 12-7. And then the Falcons on their opening drive of the half go down and score a touchdown. PAT is blocked, so it's 13-12 early in the third quarter. And then at the end of the third quarter to close it out, the Bears answered again to go back up. Cale Donovan, 1-yard touchdown, and that was on fourth down. Yeah, exactly. I think we tried a Lennox run, 2 quarterback sneaks, maybe three quarterback sneaks.
I think it was on sixth down, but
yeah, it sure seemed like it. Yeah, I think we had three or four plays from the 1 yard line, and then Kel Donovan was finally able to get it in there to take the lead. And then early fourth quarter, Falcons went right back down, scored on a touchdown pass. I believe they also had really good field position to start that drive too. So they were back up 19-18. 2-point conversion, no good there. And then they got it back after a failed West Branch drive and went up 27-18. And that's where things ended. Bears couldn't put things together to get back on the board.
And they got it. The Bears drove down to about the 20-yard line, and then you have to make a play. And Brandon Rummelhart came in and did a fantastic job. I mean, he nearly broke a school record in passing yards. What did he throw for, like 260?
He threw for 259. He was 15 of 27. 27 attempts. We rarely see that in a West Branch football game.
31 is the record.
Yeah.
Jamie Lasjack back in the day. 31 attempts in one football passing. You know, your arm's going to be sore when you haven't done that in a while. But he did a pretty fantastic job in a pinch.
Yeah.
Good to have a senior captain be able to step in there and do some good things. And it gives the team some confidence going.
Yeah, and not only in a pinch, but just when really, Luke Lennock, and we'll talk about him more in a second here, really just couldn't get anything going.
Yeah.
On the ground, the West Burlington defense, that whole team was big. They were a lot bigger than I recall them being the last 2 years when we played them. They were just very big, very physical, and they were rushing 7-8 guys, even 9 guys, almost every play. And they were able to get through the line and stop Lennox or get to Brandon Rummelhart or Bo Cornwell very quickly and not give us much time to pass.
It's tough when you're seeing 7-8 rushing against 6 or 7 blocking. Now you're already at a disadvantage, but that happens in football everywhere. Borrow a phrase, that's football. It happens.
I haven't heard that one.
Never heard that, but right now we're going to say it. That's football. But they did a fantastic job. Yeah. And this is the third time the Bears and the Falcons have played. The first time the Bears have lost to the Falcons in 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Matt, this is the first time the Bears lost a regular season game since October of 2013. That was the longest regular season win streak in Class 1A football that was alive right now. It was the longest running regular season win streak.
20 wins, I think.
20 wins in a row.
Yep.
It was the first time the Bears had lost at the Little Rose Bowl since 2013.
Wilton. And before that?
Before that, it was on yourself.
Was that at Regina? Because I know we lost 2 in a row that year.
Back to back.
Was it home?
Yep. Luke Lennox's freshman year. Because we have that. Lamont's junior year. I remember Lennox getting like a 60-yard reception along our sidelines. Was wearing jersey number 27.
Mm-hmm.
Gave up 27 points this week. 27-18 the final. You know, we won't really worry about our score predictions because either one of us, we both lost on that one. You know, hats off to Coach Brewer and his team, now 2-0 on the season, 2 wins, 0 losses. They will head into a very difficult Class 3A district that includes Solon, who's going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder now after having been defeated by Regina last week handily, I believe 34-7. They also have prohibitive district favorite, we'll say, Washington in that district, who's number 1 in Class 3A in at least one poll, if not 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington has mainly juniors, one of which is a young man who is the cousin, first cousin of Drake Bloom on the team. Also an offensive lineman. He's about 6'4", 6'5", 270. The big boy. So good luck to them moving forward. Good luck to Coach Brewer. I know his good friend Tim Dwight will be cheering for him. He was in the house on Friday night at the game.
I was wondering why.
That's because he and Coach Brewer are old chums. I don't know when the friendship started. I just know they get along very well, and he came over to support his friend. But to finish it up, 27-18, some final thoughts, Matt, on that game from you.
Well, I mentioned Luke Lenach, and he actually ended up with 78 rushing yards, which is not bad. And considering that he was kind of, you know, a lot of the times it was one, two, three yards in a cloud of dust, he really kind of, you know, ended up racking up the yards. And as we've discussed before, he only needed 59 in this game to break the school record for rushing yards in a career at West Branch High School.
Yeah. So he currently stands, I believe, at 4,440. That's 4,440 moving forward. He'll be the first one to tell you that that really doesn't mean much to him right now.
Nope.
The only thing that means much is playing Jessup and hopefully getting a victory on Friday night. End of the game stats here, Matt, and then we'll move on to Jessup.
Oh, okay.
We'll go ahead and I'll let you take care of finishing up some statistics for the game. West Branch, I knew, had 377 to 192 total offense.
Let me confirm that here for you.
So, like I said before,
I don't have that page open.
Like I said before, nearly doubled the Falcons in total offense, 377 to 192, the majority of which, as you've heard us speaking of Brandon Rumelhart, 259 passing, the majority of which were through the air, most of which to Cooper Cobla. Luke Lenach, only the third time in his high school starting career run as a running back, the only the third time that he did not eclipse the 100-yard mark. So in other words, it's kind of one of those things that if he eclipses 100 yards, the Bears usually win.
Mm-hmm.
So go on with your bad
self. Right. Yeah, so 377 total yards, 272 of that from passing and 105 from rushing. Let's see. Passing combined, the Bears were just a little better than 50% and 17 yards per reception.
Big play Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. Big so that's, court. I mean, that's. I think that's a positive right there. When we are completing the passes, they're going for pretty good gains, which is nice. And the longest being 84, that certainly helps the average. But yeah, the 84 to Cooper Cobla, who ended up with 163 yards, as we mentioned, which is a new school record. Jacob Graves had two catches for 48 yards. Ben Thompson, two for 15. And Tanner Lukowski, one for 15 yards.
That is good to hear from my perspective, is I wanted cheesy Jacob Graves to start getting that feel, to get that excitement, you know, of, you know, just get the feel of being a varsity football player, getting into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that the other night made my heart feel good for the kid. Unfortunately, it was in a losing effort.
Yeah. Rushing yards, 23 attempts for Luke Lenach, 78 yards. Kale Donovan had 9 attempts for 36 yards and a touchdown. And let's see. On defense, the Bears did have one interception, and I believe it was by Ben Thompson?
No, it was by Cheesy at the end of the first half.
That's right. Yep, to close out the first half. Yep.
Anything else of note?
Tackles. Total tackles in the way that QuickStats adds them up. Jacob Graves and Colton Dietz were tied at the top with 4. Cooper Cobla had 3, and so did Brett Sheely.
Okay.
And Kale Donovan. So.
Well.
Of course.
Kale Donovan was up there in the leaders of tackles?
Yeah, he was one off.
Man, I can't believe it.
I know.
He's never up there.
Shocking he didn't have the most.
Yeah, right? So, to our next topic, Matt. Brings us to trivia for this week. Last week's winner, Matt, is El Pork Chapo himself on Twitter, Dano Zuniga. Now, you would think, as the son-in-law of the head coach, he would be disqualified. But he's not a blood relative.
Nope.
So
he's not part of the team.
And he's not a part of the team.
He didn't go to West Branch.
So it's safe.
But he knows the answer.
El Pork Chapo knows the answer. I guarantee you Telly knows the answer because he was on the team that lost to that team. But let's not go there. So this question that we're going to come up with this week is going to be
The answer last week, or the question last week.
The question last week was the record of the 1991 state champions team was what?
13-0.
13 wins, 0 losses.
If you would have been paying very close attention in to the episode that we actually asked the question.
Exactly.
You'd have heard the answer.
Right. But if you weren't listening.
If you just skip ahead, skip around.
Yep.
Not listen to the whole thing. See,
you would have missed. You're gonna miss
out.
Missed it.
You missed out.
Too bad. So sad. So Dano, you will get your prize this week. It's a brand new visor, West Branch football visor. And you do not have one. And that's probably you getting me another answer right away, right there. And I haven't even asked the question yet, Dana. Wait a second. I heard my phone beep. But the question for this week is, okay, we're going to make it easy. First of all, Matt, do you got a prize for this week?
It's another West Branch football visor.
No way.
It is.
It's another West Branch football visor?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to want to answer this question then.
Okay.
Question is this. When was the last time West Branch was 1-1 after two football games? 1-1 after two football games. Can you answer that for me? We're going to get a little tougher every week. This one's gonna
I know
make
the answer.
You, this one's going to make you research a little bit.
I know the answer.
I'm pretty sure I know it too. I'm just going on a limb and saying I probably know it.
There is a wonderful place that would give you said answer
but,
if you look around.
But if you look, yeah, you look
I'm
around.
I'm not going to say where it is, it. What website it is.
So that's it. That's our trivia.
That's a good one.
It is. Thank you. Thank you. And it's going to keep getting tougher. People are going to have to work for it.
I will just say this. Before we start talking about Jessup here, is that I hope after the Jessup game that the season doesn't start 1-2 like the season you're talking about did.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No.
We don't. Ain't nobody got time for that.
No.
So there it is, trivia, and on to Jessup. The Jayhawks of Jessup. We've said it before. Let's bring this up again.
Okay.
This will not be the trivia question because it's too easy. Again, Matt.
Never.
They've never played. Matt knew the answer before the question was, how many times have the Bears and the Jayhawks ever met? How many times have they met
the
on
Jaybirds.
The gridiron?
The Jaybirds.
The Jaybirds? The Jaybirds. The Jaybirds. Ah, got you. Here we go. They have met zero times up until Friday at about 7:30. Then we can say officially one. When they're on the field practicing together, you know, then they've at least met.
Yes.
May not have kicked off, but they've met. And that would answer that question. So, Jessup comes into the game with a record of 1-1, having won their first game 14-6 in the first week. Obviously, if they won their first game, it's in the first week. And last week, having taken one, let's just say it was not their favorite week.
No.
Of playing football, they lost to the Northland Lynx. I believe the final was 28-6.
Yeah.
You want to check me on that one?
It was. That sounds right.
Okay.
I knew it wasn't close.
28-6 was the final on that one. We knew that they were going to be a pretty good football team going into the season, and they're probably still a pretty good football team. Evidently, Northland's a pretty decent football team, too. Drew Schmidt is the quarterback of the Jayhawks. Don't call them Jaybirds. Drew Schmidt returns after having a productive season last year, just over 1,600 passing yards for the Jayhawks. He likes to look for the Ethans, Matt. Ethan Wyant, Ethan Backus are his two main receivers. The Jayhawks have not updated their full two-game statistics yet, but through one game, we know that Mr. Schmidt has 114 yards passing. Also throws in 20 yards rushing. Next leading producer on the ground, well, the leading producer for them on the ground is Cole Von Brocklin. 16 carries, 74 yards, just shy of 5 yards per attempt. Receivers, like I mentioned, Ethan Wyant, 3 catches, 46 yards, 1 score in the first game. And Mr. Backus, Ethan Backus, 1 reception, 36 yards in the first game. He also, Tyler Leneau, Alex Moore, and Joe Youngblood have caught a pass. Other running backs, you might see it, some carries from a Noah McMurrin. But Schmidt, Von Brocklin, and Wyant are going to be the guys you're going to see him the most of. Wyant, my guess is you're going to see him in a little bit of the, what do we call that package, Matt?
The Wild Kitty?
The Wild Kitty. The Wild Kitty package.
The Wild Bear.
I got a feeling you're going to see him in that package a little bit. But they will try and throw it. They're going to try and exploit the Bears the Bears defensive backfield that, well, let's just say it, the other night that the Falcons exploited the Bears' size than anything. Now, when you got a 6'6" and a 6'3" guy going against shorter corners, I would exploit that too. Mm-hmm. But they're great athletes. The Snodgrass brothers, Tate and Tanner, great athletes. I'd throw it up to them too, all day. Mm-hmm. And he did. Yeah. And it worked. So, but let's see. And I know that Coach Peterson and his staff will have some tricks up their sleeves. They're going to make changes, and they're going to make changes that are going to be a positive production on the field by their defense. And Coach Tiley's just going to try to get that offense back and running. I don't know about running, so to speak, but just going to back up and being positive. Come on, get something.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think what the Bears really need to figure out is maybe address some of the smaller issues they've been having in the front line in the first 2 weeks here. There were, even against West Liberty, there were quite a few, no gainers for Luke Lenock. And he was just really stopped at the line. And that's not something we're used to.
No.
I think it's going to be a big key to this offense to get that portion figured out, because I think if he's running, this Bears offense is running. And if we're going, against a pretty good pass defending team or a team that's, blitzing a lot, I think the key is have those linemen, pick up their blocks, get their assignments right, and that way Luke Lenock or even Kel Donovan can burst through some big holes and just keep the offense chugging down.
As we heard in an interview, that's now the video portion of it is now up on the website at westbranchfootball.com. The line coaches, Kyle Hagenman and Telly Zuniga, talked about just what they're trying to teach the kids, for one, and what the kids need to do from that tutelage, what they need to do on the field. And to add on to what you were saying is the communication is going to be a factor. How you pick up blitzes and things, the kids at the line, you're not just going up there with one call. Sometimes you need to make a different call by what you see.
Right.
So you're going to change your blocking schemes, whether you do an alpha, a beta, or a zeta. We won't give the calls, but I'm just kind of throwing those out there for fun. Well, you make that call that, hey, we need to go left. Hey, we need to go right. Hey, you need to pick up the backer. Hey, there's the mic. He's going to be blitzing.
Yep.
52's the mic.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You need to pick those things up. And those are growing pains that we didn't expect the Bears to have. But I know that Coaches Hagenman and Zuniga, and Coach Tiley as well,
yep,
they are going to see what's going on from last Friday and going forward at Jessup this coming Friday,
yeah,
are going to try to shore those things up.
Yeah, and that was one thing that Cole Tysinger mentioned when we did his player profile last week, was that, along with him being mayor, he really wants this line to talk quite a bit more. That's something that they've really been working on, is just to communicate a lot more, as you said, just to talk with each other, come play time, what their assignments need to be based on how the opposing team defense is looking. So I fully expect that to really pick up and be hammered in practice this week. And I think it will, not only lead to bigger and better holes for the running game, but better pass protections, just as this team is learning to pick up different blitzes and know what assignments they have.
Okay, Matt, let's come clean. The actual line calls are not alpha, beta, zeta. Since we brought it up, let's go ahead and be clean. I mean, let's be honest about it. They're eeny, meeny, miny. And you don't want no mo-block blitzes, okay? That's the cheesiest I can come up with.
That was pretty good.
But we're going to go. We're going to go with it. And I didn't even think about that until anyway, okay. Jessup, you've heard a little bit about them. Bears have never played them. The Jayhawks, the town is just north of Cedar Rapids. It's about a 65 to 70 mile drive. The Bears go there every winter for a wrestling tournament.
Just east of Waterloo.
Just east of Waterloo. So
hour and a half drive.
Plan accordingly. So the JV football team is probably going to leave at about 9:45 a.m. to get there on time for a 4 or 5 o'clock kickoff. They're probably going to have to leave school early to do that on Friday. Thank you, Iowa High School Athletic Association. Appreciate that. And the kids do. They like getting out early, and the teachers don't like that at all. Let's just be honest straight away, because student comes before athlete.
Yep.
And they really stress that out there. I don't really know what else to discuss other than getting into the funny portion, the goofy portion of our program, and not hasn't been goofy already.
Well, I think just, you know, wrapping up Jessup, I think it's, as we said, we've never played them before. So we really don't know too much what to expect other than looking at their stats or game film that we've been, you know, given for them from them. So I think, I mean, that's really all we're going to have to look off of. And typically, at least, you know, it's very publicly known, at least what West Branch likes to do, you know, early in the season is just try and not show a lot, but get by with what they can. That way come, you know, time that we need to, you know, bring in new offensive formations or something.
Should I say the Bears are vanilla?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the short answer.
Isn't that what Cooper Cobla stated?
Yeah. So I guess even from watching the two games of film that we have on them, it's going to be interesting to see if they come out with anything different this coming Friday. And they're ranked number 9 to start the season. And I think stayed around that after the first week as well. So they are, yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be another tough test come Friday night. And I'm looking forward to the team getting back out on the field. And hopefully, as we'll see in practice this week, they're pretty pumped up to, you know, kind of put that loss behind them and move forward.
Of any game, I hate saying any losses, it's not a good loss, but if you're going to lose a game, you would rather it be West Liberty or West Burlington, Notre Dame, because those games don't count towards the playoff system as it's set up.
As far as we know.
Everybody right now is 0-0, starting fresh. What happens from here on out is deciding who's going to be in the postseason. And we sure do want the Bears in the postseason. Picks to click from last week, Matt. I don't recall who I had. Did I keep the same ones? Did I go ahead and keep Cale Donovan?
You know, I don't remember.
Well, let's not even worry about it then. I know our scores were probably wrong. I'm going to go out on a limb and say neither one of us, again, got that correct. But picks click,
correct.
I may have stayed with Cale Donovan because he won the first week, and I said, oh, what the heck, let's just write him.
So the one person we had write in, again, only one person, so...
Gregory Norfleet. What a guess.
I know. Defensive line was his pick to click. And his score prediction was 32-21 West Branch.
Okay. So, fair enough.
I think defensive line was a pretty good...
Pretty decent.
Pretty good pick.
When you only gave up 192 yards, most of that through the air.
Yep.
Outside of one big run, they didn't run the football much.
Right.
So the defensive line did a fairly decent job against the run.
Yep.
That's for sure. Well...
Who's your pick to click this week, Jay?
Man. Luke Lenock. It's my pick to click this week. But well, more so than that, the offensive line is actually my pick to click. I'm going to take the offensive line this week.
Okay.
Because they're probably ready to fire away and get another shot at it.
I'm going
to
piggyback off of that and take Luke Lenock.
I'll let you have it.
Yep.
Let's just put them all together in one.
Yep, absolutely. Because if Luke wins, with either one, I think if one wins, the other's going to win.
You got it right. Well... I think those are good picks. How about the score pick?
Nope, I take that back.
Yeah.
30-14 West Branch.
I have... just a strange feeling about this one. And when you've never played a team before, you really don't know what to gauge on, and we don't have all their stats, and I really haven't watched the film yet. But I just have a weird feeling about this game.
I have a guess.
That the Bears No offense to the Jayhawks. I don't know if they want to get in the way of the Express on Friday. This is unauthorized by the West Branch football team and the West Branch High School. This is just a feeling by me, from me. I'm going to say 40 to 18, West Branch, 40. And if that were to happen, I'm going to be pretty pleased. But I will take 19-18 West Branch.
That's
and
what I was care. Just going to say.
I'll take 19-18
yep.
and be fine with it. So, I don't know what else to say here. I just feel, again, I'm going to ride that. I feel that the Bears are going to come out very, very focused because from now on, they can't afford any losses from here on out. You can't afford really a can't. Loss.
No.
And this is the first of seven very important weeks.
Yep.
The first of seven very big, you know, tough opponents. I mean, look at Durant. Look at later in the season, Durant now in the sixth week. Now, they took it on the chin. They lost 50-something to 35, I believe, to Wilton on Friday. Their quarterback threw for 300 yards and four touchdowns. Leo Callison. He's up for the player of the week in the Quad Cities. You know, he had a big game.
Yep.
Look at North Cedar, Bryce Beamer coming out of nowhere. You know, not really out of nowhere, but he had a big game on the ground last week against, I don't know who they played, but I remember reading it. He had a bit over 100 yards. Tipton, absolutely demoralized. Loaiza Muscatine, something like 48 or 49 to 6.
Yeah, it was a, yeah, something it was a rocket.
49 to 8, maybe?
Yeah, it was a rocket.
But it wasn't close. Let's just say that was not close. So, and Bellevue is doing Bellevue things. We thought that I said that they would be a sneaky team before the season. They won 52-0 last week. 52-0. Oh, by the way, that's West Branch's opponent in 3 weeks. Next week,
Mac Valley.
They're 2-0. Mac Valley is 2-0.
Yep.
And they've won. They've won comfortably in I think 28-14 and 32-8 or something in their first two games, something like that. So.
Oh, we got to do it live.
What do you mean?
When we see it live.
Oh, so we're going to keep talking as we're watching the Cubs.
Yeah.
Usually, the bottom of the 13th.
Usually my phone doesn't spoil the surprise for me like this. But I'm guessing here on a 1-2 count. bottom of the 15th with two men on and one out, Jason Hayward is going to hit a single. And he just did hit a bloop single for his third RBI of the game.
Cubs win!
Hayward has three RBIs.
Holy cow! Holy Toledo!
Hayward had all three RBIs.
For a guy, he's starting to come on, Matthew.
Yes, he is.
Like a truckload of bullfrogs.
Speaking of coming on, let's hope the Bears do this Friday night. I feel it.
A sneaky, sneaky feeling that it's going to be a. Sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel it is maybe Friday. And there it is. Matt's really good about picking music. You get a feeling that I've never had before? Well, I've had this one before. It's just, I just didn't think I would have it this quickly. I'm not basing it on historically. I just, the Bears need to answer the bell. Mm-hmm. After that, the coaching staff said, hey, there's adversity and you need to answer the bell. And here's the bell. Ding, ding. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye.